Prepare yourself for the rapidly changing world and workplace at Henry Ford Community College. HFCC has more than 100 programs to choose from that can move you directly into the workplace or transfer you into a bachelor's degree program. Open registration for the 2010 winter semester begins November 9th. Visit hfcc.edu or call 1-800-585-HFCC for more information. Henry Ford Community College, your best choice, guaranteed.
No time for breakfast? Don't worry. We've got you covered. The Skylight Cafe opens daily 7 a.m. to satisfy your hungry appetite. How about some fresh made-to-order breakfast sandwiches? Potatoes O'Brien with grilled onions, scrambled eggs with toast and sausage, or some fresh orange juice or a hot cup of coffee. No time for lunch? Don't worry. We got you covered. Our soup and salad bar will delight your senses. How about a slice of hot pepperoni and cheese pizza? Or a juicy grilled burger with fries? Along with all of your favorite beverages and desserts, the Skylight Cafe has got you covered for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So save time and that precious gas in your car. Don't run around town looking for something to eat. Head on over to the Skylight Cafe located in the Student Center building. We're open daily 7 a.m. to serve you. When it comes to your appetite, the Skylight Cafe has got you covered.
Good afternoon. This is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to the show called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, and today my special guest is Chrissy Blaze, and she is a member of the Aetherius Society. Also, she's an astrologer, lecturer, and author. And primarily, we're going to start off with the discussion of the Aetherius Society. But first of all, I want to say good afternoon, Chrissy. How are you?
Oh, good afternoon, Mike. I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, thank you for agreeing to do it. I also want to thank you. You were part of our festival recently, the Festival of Enlightenment. I do appreciate the fact that you were part of that. Thank you very much.
Oh, yes, it was a great little show, actually.
Well, thank you.
I hope we can come along next year. I hope you have it next year as well.
Oh, yeah, well, we're planning on it anyway as of right now.
Good.
Now, obviously, you have a British accent. What I would like to know is, where did you grow up in England?
Oh, well, it was just outside London, a place called Surrey, and people usually say sorry, but it's actually S-U-R-R-E-Y, and it's, if anyone's a Harry Potter fan out there, they'll know that's where Harry Potter comes from. And it's just a leafy place outside London. It's very, very pretty, and I lived in London for most of my life after that.
Mm-hmm. And how did you end up in Royal Oak, Michigan, which is where you're headquartered at as far as the Aetherius Society is concerned?
Well, I was very active in the Aetherius Society in London for many years. Since 1972, I joined very, very young and became a close student of the founder, President Dr. George King, the late Dr. George King. And then I moved to the headquarters in Los Angeles, California, and I was there for 15 years. And then last year, 2008, my husband and I moved here because the branch in Michigan, which has been going for 50 years now, next year, was moving to a new location. And it's a very nice temple now in Royal Oak. And my husband and I came here in order to help expand and grow the society in Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Is this a new temple you've had built?
We didn't have it built. We bought it, actually, and
okay.
We completely renovated it, and it's very, very nice, and it's we're having a lot of activities there, services and lectures and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So we're already attracting new people.
Great. So it's getting bigger and bigger?
Yes. It is indeed.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have other branches throughout the United States as well? I know you're international, correct?
Yes, we don't have. We have headquarters, branches, and groups. We mm-hmm. have other groups around the United States, but this is the only branch, which is kind of a larger collection of people in the United States, actually.
Mm-hmm. And as I understand it, the headquarters are in London, and the American headquarters are in Los Angeles, correct?
That's right, and we have branches in other parts of the world, mm-hmm. but this is the only one in this part of the world, so it's an important, as I say, location. It's been here for 50 years next year.
It's a long time.
It is a long time, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what is the Aetherius Society about?
Well, it's a worldwide spiritual order which is dedicated to healing, both on an individual level, but also on a global scale. It was founded in 1955 by a Western yoga master, a wonderful man who I was very, very honored and privileged to work with for many, many years until his passing in 1997. It was founded by him, and he was an extraordinary medium, and he received messages from very advanced intelligences, both from this planet and also beyond this planet. And this formed the basis of the Aetherius Society's teachings. And he received in his lifetime over 600 of these messages, which form the basis of our teachings, philosophy, and so on. And apart from that, Dr. King was also a scientist, and he devised spiritual technology. And this is where the world healing comes in. He devised technology which can help heal not just individuals, but the world. And this is a whole subject in itself, a very fascinating one. And in that respect, and in many respects, actually, he was way ahead of his time.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how things get started. Sometimes these people that are very special might be looked upon as different at the time they're alive, but in years to follow, it's proven that they're correct, or that many of their ideas have come true, or their prophecies have come true.
Oh, isn't that so true, Mike? I was actually reading earlier today about, you've heard of Giordano Bruno. He was an astrologer, actually, and he was accused of heresy by the church and burned mm-hmm. at the stake, poor man. And now, and he also believed in extraterrestrial life and so on, and now, in fact, the Vatican is actually having a conference this week on something called astrobiology, which is a study of civilizations on life beyond this earth. So they are becoming much more open to things that in the past they would, claim that someone was a heretic. So it's exactly the same thing, as you say.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is some of the technology that Dr. King used?
Well, he invented one piece of technology that actually people can come and observe in Royal Oak. And it's a battery, if you like, or something, a collector of spiritual energy, because he taught that spiritual energy is a force, an energy, a power, just like electricity is. And it's a limitless power that we have and we can use and send through us through prayer and healing. And he devised a way of containing this power, and it's contained in what's called a battery. And within that, it grows. It grows in power, and then it goes through other equipment, and it can be released and has been in Operation Prayer Power for over 30 years to different situations in the world, like earthquakes, like wars, like floods, and so on, to bring about healing on a global level. And every Wednesday night in Royal Oak, Michigan, we hold these sessions, charging sessions, we call them, of this mission called Operation Prayer Power, where people come together with their prayers and their mantra, and they send out this spiritual energy through them, and it's collected into this piece of equipment. So it's it's a very interesting spiritual technology.
Mm-hmm. Is this a type of power that can be measured, perhaps?
Well, I'm sure it can be measured. It can certainly be felt. It's a power that's as physical, if you like, as electricity. But I don't yet believe that we have technology that measures this. Mm-hmm. Although I have been one of the people involved in assessing this energy over many, many years since Operation Prayer Power started in 1973. And I can certainly feel the energy. I have to kind of assess the quality of the energy and make sure that it's consistent and so on. There's no doubt it can be felt.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there a certain amount of this prayer energy that is collected and then it is sent out, or is it spontaneous?
Yeah, the actual receiver, called the battery, holds a certain amount of energy, a certain number of what we call prayer hours. This is the way we measure the energy, and it's calculated by the amount of time and the quality of the prayers, and there's a calculation made, and the battery holds a certain amount of energy which people are aware of. And then when it's full or when a situation demands it, energy can be released to the certain point on Earth.
Mm-hmm. How is this energy directed to the places that it needs to go?
Well, this is another whole subject in itself. We have equipment called the spiritual energy radiators, and actually this is another subject that another thing that we now have in Royal Oak. And these spiritual energy radiators can send out the energy.
Mm-hmm. So again, this is all something that you monitor as you go along?
Yeah, it's actually there's a body of people in the Aetherius Society who assess their initiates, who assess, you know, where the energy should be sent to and at what time and so on. Because if we think about it, the world needs this kind of healing energy all the time. So obviously one has to be discerning in working out, you know, the most strategic way of using it and at what time and the amount and so on.
Mm-hmm. And do you know if it's actually helped certain situations, maybe in a war-torn country, anything like that?
Oh, yeah, it has over the years, especially in the early days when we used to send them to specific situations. What's happened now, there's more of a cosmic connection. And as I said to you before, that the Aetherius Society also had that extraterrestrial element to it. And over the years, it has been also a cosmic connection in which energy is sent. And this is another whole subject, actually. Energy is sent in cooperation with a giant spacecraft that comes into orbit of Earth at several times a year. But apart from that regular kind of output of energy, it is also used in specific situations as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. King was, I guess, contacted directly by aliens, was this, or an alien being, and he wanted him to use the name Aetherius. Was that correct?
Yes, he was first contacted by an intelligence called Master Aetherius, who the name of the Aetherius that he came from, and he was told, at the time he was receiving messages from very advanced intelligences from beyond this, from not on the physical plane, but from the higher mental realms. And then one day he was in his flat in London, and he received a message very loud and clear, because don't forget, he was a yoga master. He was a fully realized yoga master and wasn't sort of prey to, you know, he was very, very discerning, and he heard this voice outside of himself which told him to prepare himself. You are to become the voice of Interplanetary Parliament. Well, he had no idea what that meant. It was a total shock to him, and he decided in the end, he couldn't find any answers, to kind of lock himself up in his room until he got the answer. And during the course of the time, a master who was well known in India at the time walked through his locked door and proceeded to give him a series of instructions and initiations to prepare him for the task to come.
Mm-hmm. And I just want to remind everybody that you are listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Chrissy Blaze. She is a member of the Aetherius Society, which we are primarily discussing, but she's also an astrologer, lecturer, and author. Now, when Dr. King heard this, did he get more contact from different beings from outer space? I mean, different planets? Could he tell who was contacting him from what planet? Anything like that?
Yes, he received over the years, and especially in the 1950s, there were a lot of messages from on the subject of nuclear experimentation and anti, you know, ban the bomb, and all this thing was in the news, and it was a very, very crucial time. And he had a lot of messages on that subject. And one of the frequent communicators was the Master of Sirius, who we learned was from the planet Venus, and also a communicator in, called Mars Sector 6 was one of the regular communicators from the planet Mars. And of course, the next, and there are other communicators too over the years, and he received a total of over 600 of these messages, as I said earlier. And of course, the next question is, well, there can't be life on Mars or Venus, but we do believe there is intelligent life on all, on the planets in this solar system, not just beyond it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember as a young boy, about 10 or 11, my mother, who got me interested in metaphysics, she had people visit the house, and I know there was one person that came over that had tapes, and it was some being. I don't recall the name of this being, but I believe he claimed he was from Venus, and anyway, he described what life was on, how life was on Venus and Mars, and they indicated they were much more advanced. They had solved many different things that we are still going through here on Earth. Has that been your experience?
Yes, certainly. In fact, it's quite well known, if people research a little, that extraterrestrial intelligences have not only visited Earth, but have contacted people like presidents of countries, have attempted to contact the Vatican. Certainly, one time in the 1950s, did attempt to contact Prince Philip in England, and they actually met up with his equerry, and it wasn't until his equerry retired that he revealed this information. So certainly it's true. If you research a little, there's a tremendous amount of evidence and research about this whole subject, that we are being visited, that UFOs are friendly, are extraterrestrial, and they do want to help us, and they are helping us in many ways, actually, already. But we have to sort of reach out a hand. We have to take a step forward. And, of course, we're just, this planet, if you like, is the bottom of this solar system. Mm-hmm. So just look at this planet, the surface of this Earth. I mean, it's nothing to be proud of. And the other planets are far more advanced than us, and we're like the junior member of this solar system.
Mm-hmm.
They want to help, but we have to put down our guns and, you know, ask them for help. And, you know, the whole problem of disclosure is a very, very delicate one. I mean, there is a lot in the news right now about the fact that our President Obama is about to make disclosure. And it's how to do it. And, you know, certainly many nations in the United Nations want this, specifically France, Brazil, and so on, want the truth about UFOs to be revealed.
Mm-hmm. So you think the truth will come out? I mean, to the extent that they will say aliens have visited us?
Well, I think the truth is that they are visiting us, and they will give us information that we need, technology that we need to help us at this crucial time. You know, we're running out of natural resources. We all know that. We have problems with you know, the ice melting. We're going to have water shortages and all sorts of things. And yet they work with technologies, alternative technologies, which are way beyond ours. If you just, you know, people research about UFOs and flying saucers, and they can really, really help us, not only technologically, and I believe they do already, actually, but also spiritually. And they do already help us spiritually, actually, and that's another whole subject.
Mm-hmm. So many of these aliens are teachers, are they?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we also teach that the great masters that have come to this earth have come from beyond this earth, like the Master Jesus, the Lord Buddha, Sri Krishna, Lao Tse, etc., have come to this earth from other planets to help teach, and in many cases, in several cases, to die in order to help us.
Mm-hmm. To sacrifice themselves.
To sacrifice themselves, exactly.
Mm-hmm. What planets do they come from? Do you know right offhand?
Well, we believe that these masters come from within the solar system, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That life, yes, life is inhabited on the other planets. And it's just as we, the life on this planet, we look at the physical plane, but if you're a little bit psychic, you can see people who've passed on, who live in on other realms around this planet. Mm-hmm. And there are both higher mental realms and also lower realms as well. On the other planets, there are no lower realms. These are realms that we've created on this Earth, but they have higher realms. And therefore, you know, we don't necessarily, by going there, we wouldn't necessarily see them.
Mm-hmm. So there are other solar systems that also have life?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, I believe. Life teams throughout this whole of creation is full of teeming life.
Mm-hmm.
And I also believe that everything is alive, from the rock to the great suns. And the planets themselves are living intelligences, which are radiating their power and energy throughout the solar systems, the galaxies, and the whole of creation.
Mm-hmm. Now, through reincarnation, do we graduate to some of the more advanced societies in the universe?
Exactly. This is we teach in the society. We have a book called The Nine Freedoms, which is man's journey through evolution. And, you know, we have many incarnations on this Earth where we learn lessons, and it's a long, painful process,
mm-hmm.
usually,
yes.
until we finally make the change from our lower nature to our higher nature. And then we can choose to, you know, ascend from this planet and join at a certain point, anyway, in our evolution. Most of us haven't got there yet. And then join the life cycle of another higher planet, or to join the spiritual hierarchy of this Earth,
mm-hmm.
which is a very real spiritual order, who's taken on the job of helping us to grow spiritually on this planet.
Mm-hmm. So Earth is like the preschool of the universe, kind of?
I don't know about the universe, but the preschool of the solar system.
Solar system, yeah. Yeah, I should narrow it down a little bit. You're right.
Yeah, I do believe they're worse planets than ours, probably.
Really? Well, yeah.
Well, yes. But in this solar system, we're pretty, we're definitely at the bottom of the rung.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, you know, free will to do whatever we want to, whenever we want to. And at a certain stage in our evolution, we'll have to choose freedom, which is freedom to express ourselves throughout the universe, to adhere to the laws of God, to the laws of karma, which
mm-hmm.
is a whole different thing.
Right. So you believe there's life even on Mercury?
I don't know too much about the planet Mercury. It's not really featured in our teachings too much, but I'm sure there is of some type, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you actually felt that you have been visited by some of these aliens?
I haven't, no.
Mm-hmm. But now, does everybody receive what I read that you refer to as cosmic transmissions?
No,
no?
They don't. I'm not saying Dr. George King was the only contact, because certainly he wasn't, but I believe there's an awful lot of people who claim things that just aren't true. And you might say, why was he chosen? Well, number one, he was a master of yoga. He'd spent 10 years doing yoga for about 10 hours a day, and that was on top of a job.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd reached very, very high states, able to raise the power of Kundalini fully and consciously up his spine, opening fully the psychic centers. And he'd reached a very, very high level of consciousness, where he was not prone to any kind of delusion. He was a knower, an enlightened one, and this is one of the reasons he was chosen. He was able to go into a very, very high trance state to receive these transmissions. But apart from that, he was an amazingly practical, determined individual, and I knew him quite well. I was fortunate to know him very well, he had this amazing sense of responsibility, and when he was given a task, he would do it. He was really an exceptional individual on many, many levels.
Mm-hmm. And once again, I just want to remind everybody that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This program is called Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My guest today is Chrissy Blaze, and she is a member of the Aetherius Society, which we're discussing primarily, but she's also an astrologer, lecturer, and author. Now, Dr. King, when you talked to him and you met him, did he seem like he was I don't know, sane. I mean, he seemed to know what he was talking about, and you could appreciate his lessons that he was teaching?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, from a very young age, I was taught by my grandmother about theosophy. And in fact, at the age of 3, she was teaching me the thoughts of things, and I was sort of very much imbued in this whole sort of movement of self-development, I suppose, from a very young age. And had met in my travels some remarkable people who I believe were adepts. When I finally met Dr. King, I had heard about him. He was like no one I'd ever met before. I had also kind of developed myself a little bit psychically, and I had an ability to kind of tune into people. But when I met him, I knew he was someone so far above me and my development that there was no way I could sort of analyze him, or, you know, mm-hmm. It was difficult to understand. I'd just never met anyone of his caliber before or since.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very, very unique and incredible human being, and extremely advanced.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do know that his birth date translates into a master number, if you know anything about numerology, so... Being interested in numerology, that speaks to me anyway.
Oh, you've got his birth date there, have you?
Mm-hmm. Well, it translates to the number 44, which is one of the master numbers.
Yes.
And these are usually the people that are the architects of society or other different areas of life. They do play a very important part, and they respond to a higher vibration.
Absolutely. That's very interesting. I don't believe... There are probably that many people who can operate under that high vibration.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends on the person, too. I mean, you can reduce that to the number 8, which is a little bit
right. Less.
But, again, if they respond to the higher side of the vibration, they can really create a lot of change in the world sometimes, you know, or affect different areas of life, whether it be sports or the military or whatever the case may be.
I believe so, and I believe Dr. King was one of those people. I remember in early 1970s, he was saying that spiritual healing is the birthright of every man, woman, and child on earth. He was actually saying that in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1976, he published a book, You Too Can Heal, which said that. Well, at the time in England, it was revolutionary, believe me, Mike, because people were saying healing is a gift and it's reserved for a few. And now in 2009, of course, and even 10 years ago, people take this for granted that everybody is a healer. But then, you know, he was always ahead of his time, way ahead. In fact, in the early 70s, he was talking about the energy crisis. And he said the real energy on this in this earth is not the shortage of oil and gas. It's the spiritual energy crisis. And he said if that one can be solved, all the others will come into harmony.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was talking about things way ahead of his time. And he was just so operating on so many different levels and had such a large mission to perform with so many different things he was involved with that he kind of kept under the radar. And that's why even now, over 10 years since his passing, he's still not as known about as I believe he should be.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I really wasn't aware of your society until you actually came to the Festival of Enlightenment. So, I mean, it's been an interesting thing to learn about. What are the 12 blessings?
Oh, the 12 blessings, fantastic. Thank you for asking that, Mike.
Oh, you're welcome, Chrissy.
This is a wonderful series of messages that were given through Dr. King. He was overshadowed in 1958 over 12 consecutive Sundays, and he was overshadowed by no less a being than the Master Jesus, and he was given these 12 blessings, and they are a teaching, a philosophy, but more importantly, they are a practice, a spiritual practice, and put together they form this perfect teaching. And they are going through the blessings. Blessed are they who work for peace is the first one. Blessed are the wise ones. Blessed are they who love, number 3. Blessed are the planetary ones. Blessed are the thanksgivers. Blessed are they who heal. Blessed is the Mother Earth. Blessed is the mighty sun. Blessed are the supreme lords of karma. Blessed is the great being known as the galaxy. blessed is, are the supreme lords of creation. And finally, blessed is the absolute. And this is a spectacular blessing. And this is put together in a little book, which we have at the Aetherius Society. And every week we practice these blessings together. And also every Sunday morning at our Sunday service, we actually play one of these blessings. And people will actually hear the voice of the Master Jesus as he overshadows Dr. King if they come along to our service.
Mm-hmm. Would you say this is a type of religion?
We are a spiritual organization. Mm-hmm. We welcome people of any religious beliefs or none at all. So we're ecumenical in that way. We have people who are brought up as Christians, Muslims, Hindus, Jewish people, and so on. So it's, I would say it's more of a spiritual organization.
Mm-hmm. But again, it does have some religious overtones because you mentioned some of the past life masters that were religious leaders, I guess, that came from different planets, also professed religion, correct?
Absolutely. Oh, yes, we are a religious organization in that respect, and we hold services, and we offer prayers, and we believe in the power of prayer very, very strongly as a force to change the world, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, in that sense, it is a religious organization.
Right. So together, through many, when you pray, again, you are sending out your vibrations, your energy to trouble spots in the world, and hopefully this will correct situations where there's war going on, et cetera, et cetera?
Exactly, Mike. Just like if somebody needs healing, we like channels for this spiritual energy to flow through us. From God originally, from the absolute, from the creative source, but we are the channels and we color this energy with our love and we can send it to our patient and make them better. And in exactly the same way, when we hear on the news about a terrible situation, our hearts go out to these people, we can really help, we can really make a difference. And my husband and I wrote a book on this very subject called Power Prayer, which is this form of prayer that actually Dr. King taught, a dynamic form of prayer, which is like an outward moving force of energy rather than the inward sort of personal prayer.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you also direct it towards just individuals that are perhaps suffering from illness or something like that?
Oh, absolutely. In a form of sort of absent healing or distant healing, absolutely it can be done, and it's something that should be done because it really does work. It really does work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I believe that my mother lived 5 years longer than she would have done through the power of healing. And this is something she strongly believed, too.
Mm-hmm. So you were raised in that environment also?
Not really, no. I was always just very drawn to this. My grandmother particularly was interested, but I think I'm probably the only one really in my family who was as much a searcher as I always have been.
Mm-hmm.
I never really wanted an ordinary life, was always searching to find the meaning to things and the pattern that sort of made sense of everything from a very, very young age.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, this is part of your lesson that you're here to learn, is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. I think we all are. We all have a destiny, and it's something, you know, I know from astrology, from, you know, helping people and studying people's charts, that we all have a unique destiny, and we're all here with a great quiver of talents and abilities, and we just have to learn how to use them.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully for the good, right?
Exactly. I think the main thing I think all of us learn at the end of the day is that the most important thing any of us can do is to give service, and it really doesn't matter how we do it. It's that we do it, whether it's putting a hand on someone and giving them healing, or, you know, helping someone who's sick or who needs your help in some way, or, you know, through the Aetherius Society and its healing missions. Many, many different organizations are working and helping, and this is really what's important.
Mm-hmm. Have you done any work with the situation at Fort Hood, Texas? With the recent killings, anything like that?
Oh,
have you sent your prayers in that direction?
Yes. Personal prayers. I was thinking about the Aetherius Society as a whole. I'm not absolutely sure.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly people will send personal prayers at these times, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But as a society, you have not gotten together and directed your energy for this event, right?
No, but, you know, when we hold our services, on which are Monday nights, and we do send prayers and healings to, you know, people who are suffering, and, you know, we have healing lists of people's names, and we send specific situation prayers to. And anyone can come and join us. Please do.
Mm-hmm. And I should mention something, too, when I refer to Dr. King. This is Dr. George King, not Dr. Martin Luther King. So I just want to clear up anything that if people are tuning in and they're not really sure who we're talking about, it's Dr. George King that we're talking about, and he is the founder of the Aetherius Society. Now, when you met him, what did you first think of him?
I was just blown away by, I'd never met anyone like that before, and I'd met some remarkable people, as I said earlier, because I had been on a quest to find truth, and I'd met many, many interesting people along the way who I would regard as a very enlightened people. But when I met him, he was a caliber of a person that it kind of knocked the breath out of me. I can't explain it, so much so that I devoted the majority of my life to helping him in his work. For over 25 years, I worked, and not the only one, certainly, but that's just what I wanted to do. I knew his work was vitally important. I knew this is really what I wanted to do. I knew I just wanted to learn as much as I could at the feet of this man who was absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm. So this is your life mission, then, to spread the word about this society?
Yes. I think it is, yeah. That really is my main purpose, I think, and my main interest, because it's such a wonderful society and a wonderful group of people, and, you know, it's just a great healing and hopeful message, especially in this really difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people are looking for hope, and the Aetherius Society does offer it.
Mm-hmm.
Very practical, very definite ways.
Right. I think they're seeking hope and answers at the same time.
Yeah.
Now, coming up is 2012. I'm sure you're familiar with that. It's the Mayan calendar. What is your take on this? Because there's already a movie out about this. There are other movies coming out. It seems to me they're going to take the bent that it's going to be world destruction and chaos and destruction and just terrible things happening all the time. What is your take on this?
Yeah, interesting you should say that. I've just given a lecture on that subject, and it will be available on my website soon, from an astrological perspective, 2010 to 2012, leading up to 2012. And there's some very interesting configurations taking place leading up to this point. But these are going to bring change in the world, obviously. I believe it's really up to us. Three of the major planets are moving to the cardinal signs. I call it the cardinal renaissance. The cardinal signs are all about action, about us taking action. And I don't believe it's the end of the world, number one. But on the other hand, I don't believe it's going to be a whole new paradigm of consciousness if we just sit around and do nothing. It's a very, very crucial couple of years coming up, and it really is, the planets are kind of supporting us to make that change towards spirituality and also towards demanding the truth that is out there. And, you know, if everyone's to sit down and do nothing, I think this will be a really, really difficult time, but it is also a time when we really can, as a race, have realizations that we're in this together and really can demand, have alternative resources, which are available, actually, and demand certain things. And we will also have to pull in our belts and not sort of take things for granted and realize that we live on this beautiful planet and we should, you know, do our best to help her and preserve her rather than taking all that we want from her. So it's a different consciousness is required.
Mm-hmm. So you're taking a better view of it, a higher view, in that it's going to be a positive thing?
Oh, yeah. Well, positive, if make it so. It's kind of, you know, I don't think the whole world is going to have a positive outlook, but I think the people listening to your show, the spiritually minded people, and thank you for having your show, by the way, Mike, and giving a platform for this kind of work, I think people like us, if we band together, we can be a great spiritual force. And if you think about it, Mike, it's never the mass of people that changes civilization. It's always the one and the two and the group. So even though we're a minority, we really can make a difference, but we have to sort of do something. We have to work together. We have to be determined as the opposite forces over the next couple of years. I think that really is the key, you know.
Mm-hmm. Are you and the society doing anything special in relation to this 2012 phenomenon?
You know, we haven't. We will be doing things. We'll be running our spiritual energy radiators, I'm sure. Nothing's been agreed yet, but I'm sure that's one thing. I'm sure we'll have special services and so on. But as for the plan for this, I'm not absolutely sure.
Mm-hmm. Have you done some type of astrology chart on the 2012 coming up?
Yeah, I actually think 2010 chart is more interesting myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that with the cardinal renaissance, I call it, where the three, Pluto, Uranus, and Saturn, are making a cardinal T-square. And I think next year is going to be a real interesting time leading up to 2012. I have done a chart for August the 13th, 2012,
mm-hmm.
Which is interesting, but I happen to think the one next year is more interesting.
Mm-hmm. And how is that going to affect everybody on Earth?
Well, the one in 2010?
Yes.
Pressure, people having to be a bit more resourceful, not people are thinking now, well, the economy is going to come back, you know. Oh, it's all changing. Well, it isn't. Believe me, it's not going to come back for at least 10 years, I don't believe.
Okay, okay, well, that's optimistic, but it is going to come back. I know it's a slow go here.
It's a slow go. We have a little bit of false optimism going on. There's astrologically a reason for that. Well, it's good to have hope, and I'm not, you know, but I think the world has to turn. I'm not saying there won't be an economy. I'm just saying that the world has to turn towards spirituality. That really is the key. One we've never tried, actually. And we have to realize we're in this together and get away from all this division, really. And it's a big job, you know. It's not going to happen easily. And I think in that time also there's going to be revelation, like disclosure about extraterrestrial visitation, the truth about UFOs, and all these very exciting things. But it's not going to be easy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so we do get visits from UFOs. That is correct, right, in your opinion?
Oh, absolutely. I've studied the subject. Well, I was very, very active from the 1980s. In fact, I ran in London. We ran in London, the Aetherius Society, a UFO hotline. And we had literally hundreds and hundreds of reports coming in, so many in the end we had to close down the hotline because it was like every day there were dozens and dozens of reports. And okay, some of them aren't genuine and others are probably perhaps manufactured craft, and there's all sorts of theories about this, but certainly a percentage of them are genuine. And I believe they've been coming to this earth for centuries, not just started in 1947 when Kenneth Arnold turned the coin flying saucers, but they've been coming for centuries and centuries.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that they've pointed out that they could very well have helped ancient civilizations in building certain cities and complexes, that they've depended on this type of intelligence to help them.
Yes, absolutely. I remember that book years ago, Chariots of the Gods. Did you read that one, Mike?
No, I haven't read that one.
Oh, that was probably before your time. I don't know.
Oh, no, I doubt that, but go ahead anyway.
No, that was exactly, it was a phenomenon at the time. I think it was in the 1970s. It had a lot of interesting information about that, and also a book written by Dr. King and also a friend of mine in England, Dr. Richard Lawrence, called Contacts with the Gods from Space, contains a lot of that research and information, which is very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Now, you see there's life on all the planets in the solar system?
Yes, I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
I believe so. And very, very intelligent life, too.
Mm-hmm.
And these are beings who follow the great laws, not man-made laws, but the law of karma,
mm-hmm.
the great law of action and reaction,
mm-hmm.
which underpins the whole of creation, actually. But we've kind of moved away from that, and we just want to do what we want to do when we want to do it, you know. And we have to get back to, understanding the great law of karma and cooperating with it in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Now, when Earth sends up these space probes and they land on different planets and we virtually see no life, and there are things that indicate it doesn't really have the things needed to support life, what is your take there?
Yeah, my take there is, well, I never expected them to see life, because just as we have advanced intelligences around this Earth on the higher mental realms that, you know, you and I can't see necessarily, so too do the beings there not necessarily inhabit the physical plane. And if they didn't want to be seen, they wouldn't be seen. You know, these have amazing technology. They can come to Earth and they can manifest a physical body. They can disappear and reappear. I've actually seen craft doing that myself. So, you know, if they don't want to be seen, they won't be seen. But saying that, I do believe a lot more has been seen than has been reported. For example, when the astronauts first landed on the moon, there was equipment there, you know, and that is quite a well-known fact. And name-dropping, I have actually had lunch with an astronaut, Dr. Edgar Mitchell, when I was speaking in Living the Field conferences, Lynn McTaggart's conferences in London. And him and other astronauts have come out and talked about this quite openly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we do have another show here at WHFR called We Are Not Alone. And the host, David Twitchell, has had some of these guests on, including astronauts that have claimed that we do have UFOs in the universe. They are flying around. There are other forms of life. So apparently it is getting around more and more. More people are coming out and telling of their experiences.
Yes, this is a very, very exciting part, I believe, Mike, of the next few years, when things are building up to more revelation of disclosure of the truth about UFOs. I really, really believe that. And now, of course, that I don't know if you're aware, but even quite recently, somebody from the Vatican made a statement that, you know, extraterrestrial life, I've got the exact quote somewhere, but it's more or less saying that Christian theology can include and embrace extraterrestrial life, and I'm sort of paraphrasing now, but that was quite interesting. This man wasn't a representative of the Vatican, but interestingly, he was never dismissed. You know, it was never said that, he's nothing to do with us. So in other words, I think this was a way of information being released.
Mm-hmm.
In a kind of a soft way.
Right.
So I think we're going to see more and more of this, and it's a very, very exciting time.
Right. Kind of like floating up a balloon, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Chrissy Blaze, and she is a member of the Aetherius Society, which we're talking about primarily. But she's also an astrologer, lecturer, and author. Now, have you yourself ever seen a UFO?
Yes, I have. I haven't seen as many as I'd like, but I have seen two, I think it is. One occasion in London in the evening, I saw what I thought was a satellite, and as I thought that, it kind of disappeared and reappeared in another part of the sky, and then over the next 40 minutes, I saw several of these craft doing a kind of an amazing flight pattern, zigzag flight pattern, and all sorts. I have also seen one in the daylight on the way to Mount Baldy, which is in California, and this also was confirmed by another person in a car, but I haven't actually seen one really close up, and I'd love to do that.
Yes, well, maybe even take a little trip on a UFO pair.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
In one incarnation in the future, but...
Right, well, you never know, right? Now, do you meditate on a regular basis?
Well, I do the 12 blessings and more of a... You see, when I talk about the word meditate, I equate it to a very enlightened state of consciousness. So I would say I reflect on a regular basis, and I do my prayers and healing on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you do this, do you put it out to the universe that you would like to see more UFOs or perhaps actually meet visitors from another planet?
Well, I think I do believe that there is a craft and this is something we teach in the Aetherius Society, called Satellite Number 3, which has been visiting this Earth for many decades, and its sole purpose is to enhance spirituality. So when I do my prayers, I do offer prayers to this craft, and it's not so much that I want to be to see the craft or anything like that, because we are told it's invisible on purpose. But I want to cooperate with it. And let me, can I explain a little bit about this craft?
Sure.
Number 3.
Go ahead.
Well, we were told in the 1950s it was first reported that this craft comes into orbit of Earth at certain periods of time each year, and its purpose is to magnetize the result of a person's spiritual action anywhere on Earth, whether it's a prayer, healing, or they're helping a lady across the road, or whatever it is. The energy would be beamed down or onto that person, wherever they were, and the results of that, the karmic results of that, if you like, would be magnetized by a factor of 3,000 times. So during these periods of time, and Dr. King was given the periods in a transmission into the future, we in the Aetherius Society cooperate with these periods of times by holding extra services and so on, but the thing is, it's not just about the Aetherius Society. It's anyone, anywhere in the world, of any religious belief, or none at all, that these very enlightened beings on Satellite Number 3 use their wonderful spiritual technology to help us in this very practical way. And this is a very exciting message. And people may say, well, how do I know that? You know, it's a crazy thing. But once when I was on a radio show in England in the 1980s, I was very late at night. It was one of those late night shows. And I was talking about Satellite Number 3, and I said, well, let's do a prayer together. So we did a prayer over the air, and Satellite Number 3 was in orbit, as it is now, actually, Mike. And people were phoning in the radio show for over a week after the show, saying they'd had amazing experiences, healings, and they'd seen lights and all sorts of things. So, but I know, actually, now when Satellite Number 3 comes into orbit, I can feel the difference, and many, many people can. Very, very powerful times.
Mm-hmm.
If you want us to do a prayer over the air with the listeners, we could do that now.
It's up to you if you want to go for it.
Well, let's try it, shall we?
Okay.
Well, anyone who's listening now, why don't you just raise your hands with the palms facing outwards, remembering that we have energy floodgates in the palms of our hands, as well as the heart and other parts of the body. So just allow the power to flow through you. And suspend your belief about Satellite Number 3. But let's join together in a short prayer and just think the words as I say them. And I'm going to do one of the prayers from the 12 blessings. And it's just a short one. Blessed are they who love. Almighty God, who is the creator of all things, we pray that your light may shine through us all so that we may transmit this unto the world. And just see this light flowing through you, great white stream of light flowing to all those people on the world who need hope, who need healing, who need inspiration. And every time we do a prayer like this or an action, and Satellite Number 3, we are told, and people can prove it for themselves by cooperating with it, will magnetize the effect of that by 3,000 times.
Wow, it's a lot. Now, how often does this happen again?
It's four periods each year of about 4 to 5 weeks. And we're in a period now that started November the 4th to December the 10th. And then the next one after that starts in April the 18th.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
We're very, very active at these times in the Aetherius Society and sort of consciously cooperating with this great craft. And if you think about it, it's very logical, really, Mike, because if you were a very advanced intelligence living on another planet and you looked at this world and you had this amazing technology and you thought, well, how can I help these people? This, to me, it's a very logical thing. I mean, it's a lot of sacrifice on their part. It's a tremendous thing to come to this planet, a race of people who doesn't care or know about them or would just laugh at them. And they've come and sacrificed all this time and energy to help us. But for a very enlightened intelligence, if you think about it, it's a very logical thing. Mm-hmm. And even like when we first heard about it a long time ago, it would seem almost impossible to pinpoint a person somewhere on Earth. Whereas the technology now, we know it's possible to do that with the Google Maps and all this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that itself can be kind of scary. I mean, to have that much knowledge.
Yes.
But now, so you feel that will there come a time when more and more aliens will be working among us here on Earth until we really do change for the better?
I absolutely do. Yeah, I do believe that aliens are amongst us on Earth, and also members of the spiritual hierarchy of this planet, who are very, very active in retreats around the world, and they are doing playing an amazing part in the promotion and the expansion of spirituality on Earth. You know, the Count Saint Germain and the Lord Maitreya, and there are many, many wonderful masters in the spiritual hierarchy itself as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you feel that you're learning all the time just how to be a better person and live better?
Oh, gosh, absolutely. Yes, I have so much to learn and so far to go. Absolutely, yes. Don't you, Mike?
Oh, yes. Well, I think that everybody is always learning. I think when you stop learning, you're probably not a person that's left on the planet Earth, that you've moved on somehow.
Yes, exactly. I was just taking one of the teachings that are called the Nine Freedoms in the Aetherius Study, and the first three freedoms are, the first one is bravery. The second one is love, and the third one is service. Well, sometimes I just get stuck on that first one and the second one. You know, it's like the same lessons keep coming up. Not that I'm not a brave person, but, you know, these lessons that we have keep repeating themselves, and it gets harder each time. The more we think we've learned something, it will come up again, and, you know, it's degrees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we might think we're a loving person, but there are degrees, there are octaves of this great power of love. There are different octaves and levels which we can achieve.
Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you or check out the temple out in Royal Oak, how could they do so?
Well, they're very welcome to come along. We're open quite a bit of the time, but you can come along to a Sunday service or Monday night we often have a service. After the Sunday service, we give healing, we have refreshments, and that's really a good place to start, actually. You can phone us. Shall I give out the number? Or?
Oh, sure. Anything okay. You want to give out, websites, telephone numbers, feel free.
Okay. You can phone us at 248-588-0290. And there's usually people there in the evenings, actually, evenings and weekends. So again, 248-588-0290. The website, aetheriusmi.org, is the local website, or the main website is aetherius.org. And I'm usually at the Aetherius Society most evenings and weekends. And you're welcome to contact me, ChrissyBlaze, at msn.com.
And could you please spell Aetherius for us?
Yeah, it's Aetherius.
Okay, there you go. So that's good to know. Now, how does astrology fit in with what you do as far as the society goes?
Well, there's not a connection. I mean, Aetherius Society is not part of the teachings of the Aetherius Society, but mm-hmm. from my perspective, it's all very complementary because I love the planets, and I regard the planets as wonderful living intelligences radiating their great powers through the solar system, through and affecting us on Earth. And so it's very complementary to what I believe in the Aetherius Society that teaches that, indeed, the planets are great living intelligences. And so it all kind of fits in quite well, although, as I say, the Aetherius Society is not part of the teachings as such.
Right, it's just a complement to the things that go on in the society, is that correct?
Yes, that's right, yes. The Aetherius Society doesn't teach astrology, but mm-hmm. It all is very aligned, just like all these mystic things like numerology that you talked about, Mike, and they're all very aligned to each other, are they not?
Mm-hmm. Well, usually they're interconnected somehow, and they all work together.
Exactly, yes. Just a very exciting dimension to life.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, again, life keeps improving, hopefully, and hopefully we'll get to that higher ground, so to speak.
Absolutely, absolutely. We will. We will.
You're positive of that.
Well, I am. I think we have to. I really think that all of us who are into the spiritual realms of thought and metaphysics really have to work hard, though, to make it happen. And not just sort of, I'm a little bit disappointed in the New Age movement that I think needs to get a bit more serious, you know,
mm-hmm.
and roll up their sleeves a bit more,
mm-hmm.
you know, and be prepared to work and work hard. I'm not saying everybody, but, you know, get really serious about issues, social issues, global issues, really be working hard. Obviously, some people are, but, and also work together. We need to work together.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Chrissy, very much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it. And very interesting. Maybe you'll get some people that will follow up and contact the Etheria Society now. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. I really appreciate it.
Well, I want to thank everybody for listening. I also want to thank my guest for this month, Chrissy Blaze. Once again, she's a member of the Etheria Society. And it was very interesting, all the things she had to say. I appreciate the fact that she was able to be on the show. I also want to thank my producer, Brandon McKay, for helping me out on this edition of Metaphysically Speaking. Be sure to come back next month. We'll be on December 15th, 2009 at 1 o'clock, so be sure to join us then. Once again, thank you very much for listening, and have a great day.
WHFR.FM, the station making waves. It's Tuesday at 2, and that means it's time for great indie rock and pop. Yes, that's right. You are listening to One Chord to Another. I'm your host, Jeff, where every Tuesday I try to bring you some of the best that indie rock and pop has to offer. I hope you've had a great week. I have a great show for you this week. It's going to be a lot of fun, I think. So let's get started. To start things off this week, I'm going to play a song written by Leonard Cohen. I overheard some people in the station the other day talking about Leonard Cohen, and it got me thinking about this version of a Cohen classic, the song Hallelujah. This is a piano-driven version of the song done by Rufus Wainwright that appears on the Shrek 2 soundtrack. This is Rufus Wainwright